I didn't hear the prayer request, so just continue to remember Sister Cindy in prayer. She has pneumonia. Brother Corey and Sister Crystal, Leah, and Anthony, and that they've been working, so that's why they hadn't been able to make it. I got a hold of them, and so just remember them in prayer. And, sometimes, you know, we need to work. Sometimes the devil tries to overwork us, especially if he can keep us out of the presence of the Lord. But so, amen. We're glad to be here this morning. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your mercy, dear God. Ask God that you would touch Sister Cindy, dear God, and the family there, Father. Lord, from the pneumonia, and Lord, I pray, God, for each and every one of them, Lord, anyone that's out this morning, dear God, you know, Lord, where they are, you know their need, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to their needs, Lord God, and I pray, Lord, to all those that may be listening, Lord, to the service later on, that you would, Lord, minister to them as well, dear God. Minister to your people this morning, dear God, and may, Lord, we reach and pull from you, Lord, those things, Lord, which we have need of, God, even the things which we need that we don't even know we need yet. Lord, we ask in Jesus Christ's name and to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. I want to turn in the scriptures to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Read verses 10, start at verse 10. We want to continue to read, to minister concerning calls the weary to rest. As it says here in the scripture, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he had said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Amen. You may be seated. We, as we've ministered on this thought of a place for the weary to rest, and we know that in your home, most often the place where you rest is the bedroom. And Brother Branham said that our bodies is like our house. And he says it's basically made up of three rooms. And he says there's the kitchen. And he said just like the tabernacle, he said the kitchen is where the sinner comes and hears the word. And he said that then you've got the parlor where you fellowship. And he says, then you've got the bedroom. And the bedroom, he says, is where you find rest. And after the toil of your weary day, why, you come along home to the room and resting. And also then, many times, you use your bedroom for your prayer room. And you'd find, you know, never forget the importance of prayer. Prayer is a very important thing. It's your way to communicate to God. A lot of people forget about that. And they communicate to everybody else when they're going through things or when they've got troubles or whatever. They communicate to everybody else, but the only person that can do anything about it is God. So he's the one you really need to communicate to. And you don't necessarily need to kneel down or whatever. You can pray wherever you are. You know, you can be walking around and praying. You can be doing the dishes and praying. You can be driving a car and praying. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You can be praying. And prayer is a very important thing. And so our bodies are made up like our homes. And where you find your place of rest in the tabernacle is in the holies of holies. And what is the rest? When did the rest come? The Bible tells us when people spoke with other tongues, stammering lips, they didn't really say anything, it was just stammering lips. When did that happen? On the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost come, that's the rest. It's the Holy Ghost. That's the rest wherein you cause the weary to rest, is to receive the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are laden and that are heavy laden, and I'll give you weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Amen. And he gives us rest by giving us life. How many knows that the Christ, the third was when he gave life, the third day. The third day brought life. And how many knows he had, there's three types of the rest. He rested after he creating the world and creating man. He rested on the seventh day. And that was the first rest. And then he rested on the first day, seventh day, and then he gave rest to Israel by the law. And then he gave rest by there on the day of Pentecost by coming back on the believer, which was what all this was a type of. Right. Amen. The third day was life. And, you know, you talk about the Trinity. Well, it was the Father above the people that was in a pillar of fire. It was the Son, was a man that came and talked to the people and got them ready. The Holy Ghost was the third step. The Holy Ghost was God coming in the people, the very life of God, Zoe. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, well then, you've never entered into God's rest yet. That's God's rest. Amen. When he gives you a birth, you become a son and daughter of God. And then we look at the rest, and of course, the rest, he gave them a day, a Sabbath keeping. And they would rest on the seventh day. And they would enter into rest, but we've got a Sabbath. But our Sabbath isn't a certain day. Our Sabbath is Jesus. Our Sabbath is the Holy Ghost. Our Sabbath is entering into Christ, which we see the types that showed that the word would come then eventually line upon line, precept upon precept. Amen. And the rest, that rest came on the day of Pentecost, for that was where I'll cause the weary to rest. Amen. God limited a certain day unto David. But the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day. Now, when is the day of rest? It's the day when you hear his voice. It's not a day of the week. It's the day wherein you hear his voice. He said, "Harden not your hearts." Amen. That's the day that he's entered in to give you eternal peace and eternal Sabbath. Amen. You don't go to church on Sunday to become religious. When you're born of the Spirit of God, that's when you enter into his rest forever. No more Sabbath keeping. You're in the Sabbath. Amen. Continually forever. You've entered into a blessed peace. Amen. Brother Branham was speaking in the message of what does it take to become to make a Christian life. And he was speaking about a time when he was up hunting in British Columbia. And as he was going on, why, he come to a place his horse was tired and he was needing some rest. And so Brother Branham come up to this place and he stopped to rest. And when he got there, why, when he looked over the land where he was, why, it was a great burnout had happened. And there was big trees that had been burnt, and it was just a burnout. If you've ever saw one, there's just everything is blackened by the burn, by the fire that's passed through there. And Brother Branham said that he wondered, Lord, why'd you bring me here to rest? We should have went on up into the forest. But, you know, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. And so he thought, well, what are you trying to show me? And then he said, there was a wind that came through. And when the wind came through, why, the trees, the dead trees that were burned up, they began to moan. He said, oh, what an eerie sound. He said, it was the way we called on the street, spooky. And he said it was a moaning sound, a groaning sound, mournful sound. And said it was just a horrible place. And he wondered, why did the Lord bring me here? But then he looked down where new vegetation had started to grow. And there were some new trees that had come up. And the wind in them wasn't making a mournful sound. The wind in them was making a joyful sound. And I ask you this morning, which are we? Which are you? Are we making mournful sounds in the wind of the battle that we're in? Or are we making joyful sounds? Amen. He said that when they speak evil of you, he said, rejoice in that day. Amen. Hallelujah. So the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, Brother Branham said. In this message, he says, everything works together for the good of them that loves the Lord. He says, God brings things around to happen that way. It's his great love for his people. Sometimes he has to take you through dark places, but only to show you light. Sometimes, you know, we don't like the dark places. We don't like going through those times in our life. When you're going through it, you kind of want to hurry up and get on out of there. And he said sometimes he has to take you through some dark places, but only to show you light. That's how our Father works those things. And I believe it's only a place where God's bringing the church that when it all breaks, what a time of rejoicing. When the redeemed stand someday to crown Jesus King of Kings, Lord of Lords, when he's sitting on Mount Zion on the sideline with the angels, he said, would be on the sideline while we're singing a song of redemption. Because they don't know what it's like to be lost. They don't know what it's like to be redeemed. But we've been lost. We once were lost, but now we're found, as the song says. We've been redeemed. Amen. And we'll stand there on that day redeemed. Amen. And we're the ones that'll be able to sing the song of redemption with joy. Amen. Brother Branham was praying in the message of love toward this is actually toward the beginning of the message. He said, oh God, may these service before this service ends, may those who are weary with hands that are hanging down, face down towards the earth, walking. May them feeble hands be lifted up, tears of joy running down their cheeks, looking toward the Lamb of God in a gratefulness of pure and holy salvation. Grant it, Lord. Remember those ones who raised their hands. Some might be sick, Lord. Heal them tonight. Just let the Holy Spirit go right out over the audience everywhere and heal the sick and save the lost. Bring near those to you, Lord, those who are a little wayward and indifferent. They're your children, and they just can't find rest nowhere. Like I said, they're your children. Not cast them out because they're down. Not cast them out because they're weary. Not draw them out. But amen, said, they're your children, Lord. When we get down, God don't look down at us. He realizes we're human. He knows what it's like to be human. He came down. Friends, listen. Jesus Christ was human. It was God living in human flesh. He knows what it's like. He knows what we go through. He knows our pain. He knows our suffering. He knows our trials. He knows our temptations. He's someone we can go to. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get to feeling like you're at wit's end. As David says in the book of Psalms, at wit's end. Read with me in Psalms 55. Amen. Psalms 55. It says a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Amen. Friends, I'll tell you something. We've got the wings of eagles. Yes, amen. Amen. It's faith wings. Amen. We can soar to a place of rest in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You know, since August, I've been trying to get more exercise and try to help myself physically. And I walk every morning. And I was thinking on this morning, thinking about how that Brother Branham, you know, would take life experiences and begin to relate them for hunting and all these different things and things that he saw. And why I walk in the mornings, why that's when I think on the scriptures and I think on the what I've been studying and I think on what I've been preaching. And, you know, as I think on it, then there's things that goes on that I relate to. And there's times when, you know, you know when you're first starting out, why you feel like, man, I got a long way to go. But then after you've been going a while, you feel like, well, I ought to be done by now. And you feel like, you know, have you ever felt like in this, you know, we're running in a race. Amen. We're in a battle. Have you ever felt like you should be further along than what it seems like you are? Yes. Seems like enough time has passed behind you that we ought to be that much closer to the end. But then you get to looking around you, and even though you see signs that we're at the end time, you look and you think, well, but how many years has this been going on anyway? And as you begin to look at that, you actually get weary from it. And, you know, Satan's always there saying, well, you know, like the song, you're just losing ground. Right. You might as well give up. Right. You know,
yesterday morning when I was walking, why I was feeling really good. And I was walking at such a fast pace that, you know, my watch records my walk-in in my phone, and it was recording me as running because I was walking so fast. And I was getting points for that, and I was feeling good about it, you know. And when I walked 6 miles, and when I got done, well, I felt good about it. And so I was really basking in this victory I had. And then I got up this morning and went to walk, and it seemed like one foot didn't want to go in front of the other. And it seemed like my ankle was bothering me, my leg was bothering me, and this was bothering me, and that was bothering me. And I didn't even feel like walking. And I thought, well, I don't got to walk as far as I did yesterday and the day before and the day before that and the day before that. You know, I just, maybe it's Sunday, I won't walk as far. But I just kept on walking, and I was looking at the points I was scoring, and they weren't adding up like they were the day before. You know, and you feel that way sometimes when you're going through these battles of life. It seems like you have some that you win a great victory, and you just bask in that great victory that you won. And you feel so good about, boy, I overcome that trial. I really made it through that one. You know, look at how I came out of here. And then right after that, you start through another one. And then this other one, it feels like it just knocks you flat. And you feel like, oh my, all the things you felt like you'd overcome, you felt like you're having to face them again. And you think, what's going on? And you think, well, maybe I ought to give more credit for the last battle that I won. Maybe I ought to be getting more credit for this one, because this one seems to be harder. I don't feel like I'm getting enough credit for it. And you know, I don't have to tell you this morning that I gave up and quit, because I didn't. Yesterday I got it all done in an hour and 20 minutes. Today it took me an hour and 40 minutes to get it done. But I kept walking. I got up to 5.5 miles. And I thought, well, I got enough. Maybe I can quit. And I thought, well, I only got another 0.5 mile to go. Amen. And, you know, the thing is, it's been making me feel better physically. It's been making my blood sugar better. It's been making my blood pressure better. It's been helping me in my health. And so I thought, well, you know, that's really what counts. Is if I found a place where I walk this certain amount every day and it makes me feel better, then I gotta press forward. And friends, that's the way it is in this race we're in. You gotta keep running. You gotta keep pressing forward. Quit looking around you. Sometimes we get to looking down. I noticed that when I was walking. Sometimes we get to looking down. And we get to looking down, we start to slow down. And we do that in our trials. Sometimes we get to looking down. Sometimes we get to looking around. And we get to looking around at what's going on. And we get to concentrating on the circumstances. It's like I just read you, Brother Bram said, sometimes he takes his people through some dark places. Hallelujah. Reminds me of the time Brother Branham preached the message, and he was talking about when they went in those caves. I forget where it was now. It might have been in Kentucky or somewhere. But he said he went back in those caves and it turned out all the lights, and he said it was black. He said, but then he said, don't worry, there's a man in here who can turn on the light. Sometimes we go through some dark times, but we've got a man who can turn on the light. Amen. It's just, Brother Bram said, he takes us through those times just to show us some light. Yes. That's when light shines the brightest. Hallelujah. Michael and I, we get little things to mess around with and that, and And I saw online this big spotlight. And so we ordered it. And you could order different strengths, you know. We ordered the military grade, the strongest one. And it's got a big old lens on the end of it and a tripod that it can set on. And we got that thing in, you know, and we had to charge it up. And then we got it charged up. We had to sit outside on the porch and wait till dark. And then we'd see how far it shined, how far it would shine through the dark. But you know, before it got dark, you really couldn't tell how far it was shining. But once it got real dark outside, then you could shine that light and see just how far off it could shine. Boy, it would light a path up. I tell you what, it was amazing. I didn't know if it'd do it or not. It showed it online that it would. But I didn't know, you know, sometimes they use things to advertise things. But boy, I'll tell you what, that was a powerful light. It really could show up things. And that's the kind of light we've got. We don't got no little old tiny flashlight. We've got the one great big bright light. Amen. I see the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Hallelujah. I can see the Father standing at the door. Hallelujah. This world is wilderness. Hallelujah. I'm ready for deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes you get to situations where you feel like you're surrounded by the enemy. You remember when the army came down there to surround the prophet, and Gehazi went out there and said, "We're surrounded on every side by him." Sometimes it looks like, you know, you're surrounded. You know what they told us in the military? When you get surrounded, don't think about being surrounded. Just think about you're in a target-rich environment. Every which direction you fire, you're going to hit the enemy. That's the way it is, friends. We're in this old cruel world. We're in a target-rich environment. Any which way you fire, you're going to hit a devil somewhere. Hallelujah. As the prophet said, there's more with us than they are with them. And the Bible said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And that he that's in the world, and just, friends, look, the devil is not omnipresent.
Right. That's right.
Only God's omnipresent. But the devil makes himself seem that way because he's got a bunch of demons working for him. It makes it seem like he's everywhere at one time, but he's not. He just got a bunch of devils working for him. Got a bunch of demons and cronies working for him. It's the devil's minions. They're everywhere. Just start firing at them. Hallelujah. Say, how do I do that? Amen. When you feel like you're surrounded, just raise your hands and start praising the Lord. Brother Ben said, say hallelujah, and then it'll shove about 10,000 demons back this way. Say praise God. It'll shove another 10,000 back that way. Hallelujah. Sing the praises of God. Oh, there's times in our life when we're going through where we feel like singing. But you know when you really need to sing? It's when you don't feel like singing. That's when it'll help you. Everybody's ready to sing when they're happy. Everybody's ready to sing when things are going great. But when things are going bad, that's when you need the songs of Zion. That's when you need to sing the songs of praise. Hallelujah. I've told you before, we were living in the basement years ago, and the sump pump went out. in the middle of the night. We were sleeping. We didn't know it went out. And when my wife was the first one to step out of bed, she stepped in about that much water. And she wasn't fully awake, and she thought it was the dog had come over there. And then we realized the basement was flooded. And so we had to go out and buy a new sump pump. And we had to get it installed. We had to install it ourselves, me and my father-in-law. And but then it's going to take some time to get that stuff pumped out of there. And the basement wasn't really set up to, for everything to run. It wasn't set up for stuff to run downhill. It was all level or unlevel, whatever the case may be. So we had to kind of keep sweeping the water toward the sump pump to try to get it out of there. It was terrible. It run things. It run rugs. It runs anything that was on the floor. I had an old stereo that I had in a bag stuck under a table. And that I'd had from the time I was just a teenager. And it run that. And it just, anything that was down low, it just ruined it. And it was a horrible thing, you know. And we should have been down about it. But I thought, why be down about it? It ain't going to help us sweep the water out. It ain't going to change the situation. Why complain about it? That ain't going to get rid of the water. So I started singing, "There shall be showers of blessing." And just kept pushing the water out. It's like I was thinking this morning when I was walking, that song Brother Terry Tidwell sings, "God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees." Amen. There's sometimes trials we go through. It does send us to our knees. But friends, that's where you get blessed at, is on your knees. Pray. Amen. But many times we get in the middle of it, and what we want to do is complain. Like that's going to change it. Some people want to get mad about it. Like that's going to change it. It ain't going to change it. I'll tell you what to change things. Brother Branham said prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said it even changed the mind of God one time. The prophet had come to him, to the king, told him, said, "You're going to die." And the king turned his face to the wall and began to pray and asked for more time. And God told the prophet, "Go back and tell him I've given him more time." Prayer changes things. Prayer can change your situation. Of course, you know what we want. We want instant everything. They came out with instant potatoes. They ain't nothing like real ones. You believe that? They ain't, if you ain't never tried them, don't worry about it. They ain't nothing like real. People want everything instant, right now. I went one time to a fast food restaurant, and we were, you know, you gave them your order, and they told you, gave you a number on a ticket. Told you, go stand over there and we'll be calling your number out, you know, and you come up and get your food. And there was people complaining that they wasn't getting their fast food fast enough. People want their internet faster and faster and faster. We're living in an age where, you know, I remember as a kid, there wasn't no real fast way to heat stuff up. Now kids got microwaves. Kids know how to use them now. Used to be when we first got a microwave, you know, it's like, now, children, don't touch this thing. You know, it can be dangerous. Now we tell our kid, "Just go over and pop it in the microwave. Put it on 15 seconds. 15 seconds. We used to have to heat stuff up on the stove and in the oven. But now sometimes the microwave ain't fast enough. They put it on for a certain amount of seconds and they let it out and said, well, nope, it still ain't ready. My goodness, why am I going to have to wait so long? I'm going to tell you something, friends. You know, for our grandkids, we get these little pizzas, little personal pizzas, you know. And the grandkids like these pizzas. And you can take and put them in the oven, and you can bake them in the oven, and then take them out and eat them, or you can put them in the microwave. And you can heat it up in the microwave. I want to tell you something, it ain't the same. My grandkids found that out real quick. It ain't the same doing it in the microwave. You might as well wait the amount of time, you know, wait 22 or 25 minutes and get it done right. We want to be instantly out of a trial. We pray, God, take me out of this, and it don't happen right away. Then we get beside ourselves. Why am I still going through this? That right there is why. I saw a t-shirt the other day that said I was tested for patience and came up negative. That's the way a lot of people are. They're negative for patience. And that's why sometimes the trials go on so long, because you need to be patient. The Bible says that Abraham received the promise after he had patiently waited. He had got the promise, have a child. Only takes 9 months, but he waited 25 years. They got a little impatient. And that's why we have some of the problems we got in the world today in the natural, is because Abraham and Sarah got impatient and tried to come up with a way on their own to bring about the promise of God. The angel said about to Hagar, said, he'll be against every man, and every man's hand will be against him. They can't stand Israel. But that's still God's nation. God don't care whether... Friends, look, I'm going to tell you something. God don't care that there's people out there that can't stand you. There was people, did you realize there was people on the face of the earth that couldn't stand Jesus Christ? I imagine they stood around talking, I can't stand him. You know what? He takes 5 loaves and a couple of fishes and he feeds a multitude. A couple loaves and 5 fishes feeds a multitude. I can't stand him. He speaks to the storm and it stops. I can't stand him. Somebody told me one time about a certain sports player, said, I can't stand him. And I said, why? Has he won too many Super Bowls? That's the way a lot of people, I can't stand him. They couldn't stand Jesus Christ. They put him to death. What makes you think you're better? Hallelujah. Amen. We just need to hold on a little longer. Amen. We're in a race. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. We're coming down to the end. We need to hold our heads up high. Quit looking down. You hold your head up high and look toward the end. Like Brother Branham gave that example about them boys riding the bicycle. Said these one boys, they could ride with no hands. And said the other boy, they'd made fun of him because he couldn't do it. Then they had a contest who could ride down this board without falling off all the way to the end. And all these boys that could ride with no hands and everything else got their bikes up on that board, go a little bit and go off the side. That one they made fun of, he got on there and rode the board all the way to the end. They asked him, how'd you do it? He said, well, fellas, here's what it is. Y'all got to looking down around you. And you got to looking at the sides of the board, and that's why you ran off. He said, I kept my eyes on the goal. I kept my eyes on the end, and that's how I rode it. And that's what we've got to do. Get our eyes off of the situation. Amen. Know that no matter what the battle looks like that you're going through, the war has already been won. We're at war. You know that? We're at war with the gates of hell. But the Bible said we've got something that the gates of hell can't prevail against. And that's revelation. Hallelujah. I've got a revelation of predestination. I've got a revelation of who my Father is. Hallelujah. Where I came from and where I'm going. Hallelujah. We get weary. Amen. Brother Branham said in the life story, he said, when my hour of death comes, may Jesus Christ come down and walk me through the valley of the shadow of death, light up my way and bear my weary soul to the haven of rest. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're pretty well, sometimes we feel pretty well beaten up. It's like that song, The Anchor Holds. Though the ship is battered, the sails are torn, but the anchor holds. The anchor is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm not your anchor. This church ain't your anchor. Your anchor is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sometimes we feel like we're pretty well beaten up. Brother Bram talks about that time, I think it was in Rome, they had a parade. And as the leader was going down through there, he looked and he saw this man that was all scarred up. He said, where'd you get all them? He said, in battle. He said, I want you to ride up here with me. Hallelujah. We've got some scars from the battles that we've fought, mental scars. We got things that have scarred us in this life that plague our minds. Remember, that's the battleground that Satan chose was the mind. That's where he tries to battle you at, is in your mind. Friends, a lot of times that's where we're weary at, is in our minds. I remember when I was in the military, you know, we would, in the army, we would go running, you know. And they took us as new young recruits, just off the block, you know. And we didn't know anything. We didn't know anything really about putting in any effort and really seeing through something. When the going got rough, they wanted to get out. They wanted to quit. They wanted, when we'd go on a run. We weren't used to running. And they don't want you to run in the army. They want everybody to run in step. Everybody taking the same step at the same time while you're running. It can be done. It just takes discipline. That's what this world is lacking today, is discipline. That's what this young generation today is lacking, is discipline. Self-discipline. They're lacking self. You know why they're lacking self-discipline? Because they ain't got no other discipline. No discipline from their parents. No discipline from their elders. ain't asked to own up to anything or take responsibility for anything. I was sitting over here in the court one time, and it was a court down here in Dixon. And there was a young man that was up there. He was 17 years old. And what had happened was they'd had him up at the juvie court, and the juvenile judge had said he should be tried as an adult. And what it was, he had got out and beat some old people to get their money. 17 years old. Beat an old man just to rob him. And the juvenile judge said, you take him up to the adult court. And so that's why he was in the adult court. And they got him a lawyer. And the lawyer got up there and said, well, the poor boy, you know, he ain't had his father and mother really. His grandmother's been trying to do her best to raise him and, you know, have some leniency on him, Your Honor. You know, he's had it real bad, you know. That's the way the world is with things today. Oh, they just had it so bad. Like that's an excuse for beating up an old man and stealing his money. Oh, he didn't know any better. Well, I tell you what, you let a real man get a hold of him and teach him. By the time he gets done beating him, he'll know better. They got rid of the woodshed. They got rid of the board. They got rid of the strap. They got rid of discipline. You know, they need to express themselves. We was over visiting my son and his wife yesterday. She was talking about somebody, a neighbor, I think it was, somebody had come to the door and they had a little three-year-old girl. And come up to the door and the three-year-old just caught Lydia with her back turned and she didn't know these people. And she just ran in the house. And the mother didn't do a thing about it. And she said, you know, you need to come back here. You shouldn't have done that. But she didn't take a hold of her. She didn't do nothing about it. And Lydia Hope said she went over there and told her, here, your mother wants you out here now. Got her back out the door, and she caught another chance and ran back in again, and the mother didn't do anything about it. You know why? Let them they're just expressing themselves. I'll tell you what, wait till they get about 16 and watch them express themselves. That's where they'll end up. They'll end up in court. I always told my kids, look, you might have to answer to me now, but I'm going to tell you something. There's always going to be a time you're going to have to answer to somebody. They think, well, when I get to be 18, I can do what I want. You're still going to answer to somebody. It might not be me no more, but you're still going to answer to somebody, and the person you're answering to is going to be behind the desk with a gavel.
That's right.
Goodness sakes. Hallelujah. How did we get on all that? I'll tell you, things like that in this world can make you weary. Like I heard a story one time, there was a grandfather. He had his little grandson in the store, in a cart. That grandson was throwing a fit, and he was reaching for this and reaching for that, and he was grabbing things off the shelf, and then he'd throw a fit if he couldn't get what he wanted and all that. And the woman heard the grandfather saying, it's going to be all right now, Johnny, it's going to be all right. She said, at just a little while, and this will all be over with. And she said, that's nice for you to talk to your grandson. Like, he said, who's talking to him? I'm talking to myself. This will all be over in just a little bit. Hallelujah. Friends, you know, we've come through many miles here as a group. We've come through some rough times. We've come through some times where I've heard testimonies come from other pastors and ministers that were friends of ours and say, I don't know of a church that's went through things any harder than y'all have. But that don't make us special. We are special in God's eyes. And that's why we go through things. God's correcting us. God's teaching us. God's molding us. God ain't gonna let you get by with throwing a tantrum. You reach and grab something that you shouldn't be reaching and grabbing, and God's gonna make you make it right. I remember one time when I was a little boy, I don't know why I did it because my daddy never deprived me. But I saw a pack of this striped gum. I can't even remember what it was called now, but it had advertised by a little horse with stripes. And it was fruity gum, you know, and I saw it in the store. It was with my daddy, and I just took it off the shelf and stuck it in my pocket. We walked out and got in the old car. We got in there, and I pulled out this stick of gum, put it in my mouth, and Dad said, where'd you get that gum? He was worried somebody we didn't know would give it to me, probably. And I told him, I just took it. My dad didn't whip me. He said, you're going back in there and paying for it. My dad didn't go in there and say, now, my son, he took this pack of gum, I want to pay you for it. No, he made me do it. I had to tell the lady, I stole this pack of gum, and here's the money to pay for it. I had to do it. They don't do that today. Poor little junior, you know, 21, 22, 32 years old in jail, and poor junior, you know. I'll go up there and bail him out. People's asked me to pray for that God will stop their kid from doing something, and I pray and God throws them in jail, and they go up and bail them out. What in the world are you doing? Going against what God's doing. You ask God to put a stop to it. They can get saved in jail. They can repent in jail. You can repent wherever you are. I repented out by an old wood pile one time. Wasn't in church. Mom and Dad wasn't around. They'd went off to Jeffersonville for Easter. I was by myself because I worked. I come home and got drunk, was smoking, and all of a sudden it was like Jesus appeared to me. Boy, I tell you what, I got rid of that stuff right now and got down by that wood pile and I started to pray. Nobody had to tell me what to do, and I didn't blame it on nobody else. It's my mom and daddy's fault. They wasn't here. That's the way it is today. It's my daddy's fault that I'm an adulterer. No, it ain't. It's your own choice. Own up to it. Take responsibility for your actions. It's a dreadful place that we're in. But we're coming down to a place where we can lay our burdens down. Amen. We're coming down to a place where that we can, this old vile body, we're going to lay it down for a glorious body. This old mind that the devil plagues all the time with evil thoughts and plagues by by blaming you. He's the accuser of the brethren. A lot of times he accuses you to you. Look at what you've done. I thought you were supposed to be a believer. Why, you ain't going in the rapture. If anybody know what you've done, oh my goodness. One thing's for sure, devil, I realize you know, because you won't leave me alone about it. But you know there's an all-seeing eye. God knows too. And God don't stop loving you. He didn't ever, you know God never started loving you? It's an eternal love. He always loved you. Even before you was born, he's told Jeremiah, I called you a prophet before you was ever formed in your mother's belly. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. When did God know me? Before the foundations of the world. But when even when you were a sinner, he knew you then. Hallelujah. Before you was born, before your daddy was born, before his daddy was born, he knew you. He knew everything you'd go through, knew what your makeup would be, your personality, what kind of a person you'd be. Knew every mistake you'd make, every failure you'd make, every fault you had. Every sin you'd commit. And for all those things, he come down and become a man. And went to Calvary. As Brother Branham said, that's what he died for. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, we should never get tired of hearing about Calvary. One time, some years ago, Brother Benton come through here and he preached a message on Calvary, like for salvation. I had some folks come to me and say, boy, he preached kind of shallow. He just preached on salvation. Just preached on about the cross. And I said, that we should never get tired of hearing about that. That's the whole reason we're even here. That's the whole reason we're even going to church. It's because he came and gave his life on Calvary. Amen. Shed his blood for you and me, our sins. Amen. Took our sins upon him and went to hell for them. So we don't have to go. Hallelujah. And you know what he did? He went down to hell and he took all them sins and threw them back on the originator of them. Amen. Said, you're of your father the devil. That's what he told them. You're of your father the devil. Said he was a liar from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to lay down. Amen. Hallelujah. Weary travelers, the song he was singing. Amen. As they come up to the instruments. Amen. Oh, weary pilgrim, Brother Branham says, come back to the Father's house. He was praying to Jehovah Jireh, and he said, I'm looking for that city. My heart's a beating toward it. Oh, not one way would I turn, but look straight toward the place. God help me to stay right there, true and faithful, throwing out a lifeline everywhere and bringing every weary pilgrim I can to go along. This is the rest wherein ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. I'm going to lay. I might have to go maybe higher. I'm going to lay down my burdens Down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside, I'm gonna lay down my burdens. Down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. 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 I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my sword and shield down by the riverside. I'm gonna study the war no more. I'm gonna pick up the war. Gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna pick up my ruby crown down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna pick up my robe and crown. Down by the riverside. I'm gonna study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Well, I ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Down by the riverside. Study war no more. Ain't gonna 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 study war.
Christ, I need water more. Oh, I need water more. Ain't gonna study.